Welcome to the University of Virginia Darton School of Business weekly podcast, better known as the Business Cast. I'm Abina Foreman. This week, we'll take a look at the nation's economy through the eyes of chief financial officers. We'll hear how optimistic they are about the current state of affairs, their predictions on how long it will take for the economy to turn around, and what their own firms plan to do with regard to hiring and expanding. But first, this week, Darton's business and sustainability class opened its doors to the community so that others could hear from a man hailed as a hero for the planet and a hero for the environment by Time magazine. William McDonough, world-renowned architect, author, and former dean of the School of Architecture at the University of Virginia, discussed sustainability, how it is achieved, and challenged Darton students to be future leaders of the movement. The book he co-authored, Cradle to Cradle, Remaking the Way We Make Things, is described as a manifesto calling for the transformation of human industry through ecologically intelligent design.
One of the reasons that I'm interested in working with business school students is that we believe that commerce is going to be the engine of the change we seek. It will not be happening because of things like Copenhagen. It will not be happening because of regulations. It really is a design problem we have as a species.
McDonough also told poignant stories about his work, including one about how a home design he created improved the lives of a single mother and her two children who were displaced by Hurricane Katrina. McDonough leads the sustainable construction efforts of the Make It Right Foundation, which was started by actor Brad Pitt and builds homes in the Lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans. After moving into her new sustainable home, this mother saw her daughter's asthma disappear, and lower utility bills allowed her to afford extra activities for her children. To learn more about Cradle to Cradle, visit McDonough's website at McDonough.com. Healthcare innovation and trends will be the talk of Darden's grounds beginning Wednesday, November 3rd through Friday the 5th. The Darden Healthcare Leadership Club is hosting its annual conference this year called Innovation and Trends in Healthcare. A host of speakers from insurance executives to company CEOs will discuss healthcare policy topics and ways that technology is changing the way healthcare consumers receive medical care.
Wendy Yarno is a former chief marketing officer for Merck, who is now working for a local healthcare startup called HemoShear, and she'll bring a great perspective from the pharmaceutical industry as well as from that innovative startup, small entrepreneurial perspective. We'll also have Jeff Farkas from Medtronic. He is based out of Washington, D.C., and is in charge of health policy and payment. So we'll get both the sort of medical device perspective as well as that all-important policy perspective that will, you know, is so important now with the new healthcare reform bill. And lastly, we'll have Scott Wallace representing Blue Cross Blue Shield and bringing that insurance perspective in.
That was Nicholas Connell, Vice President and Director of Communication for the Darton Healthcare Leadership Club. Connell says that understanding healthcare trends is important because it's something that will touch everyone, including future leaders.
With 17% of the GDP, it in itself is a huge industry. So it is very likely that a large number of folks will in some way, directly or indirectly, be involved in healthcare. So folks pursuing careers in hospital administration and pharmaceuticals and medical devices and insurance, of course, are going to be impacted by it. But then there's a whole sort of secondary and tertiary set of careers like investment banking or consulting where there are huge revenues in the healthcare industry, and you want to be well-informed for those.
For more information about the conference, visit the Healthcare Leadership homepage on Darden's website and click on Conference. What do chief financial officers have to say about the state of the U.S. economy? Ken Eads, Darton professor and finance area head for the Strategic CFOs Roundtable, recently listened to a group of CFOs who met in Northern Virginia, and he's here to tell us what's on their minds. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bina.
Well, what we all want to know first is, what did the CFOs have to say?
Well, this was our fourth meeting over about 15 months. And so we have a little bit of a time series in terms of comparing what they've said before to how they were feeling this time. And I utilized a survey trying to add a little structure to what they said and how to report that. But the bottom line was that And keep in mind, these are relative results. So when I say one of the results that I noticed was a little reduction in optimism, well, that doesn't mean they're pessimistic. It means they're not as optimistic as they were, say, in May when we met before. And but this was the first downturn in optimism. Optimism about the general level of the economy, the progression of the recession, coming out of that recession. More specific questions about how long will it take for the employment level, the United States employment level, to return to pre-crisis levels. So I wanted them to give me a number of years, number of months. And that was a little longer than in May. And if I asked them to just to say, visualize a dial from 0 to 100 of how optimistic you are, well, they dialed that down a little bit compared to where now. Still in the optimistic range, but less optimistic than before. And that was a change, and we had a good bit of discussion about that reduction of optimism.
And they're a pretty big group. Can you give us a bit of a history of the CFOs Roundtable?
As I say, we started this about 15 months ago. It's a consortium of the Darden School, myself representing the Darden School. Jane Scott Cantus, who's actually a Darden grad, is part of of ILEX Leadership, which is a consulting firm. She's the principal of that firm. They look for talent, leadership talent, as well as other consulting duties for companies. And McGuire Woods, which is an international law firm, has offices here in Charlottesville, but also up in up around Tyson's Corner, hosted the roundtable. So we've got constituencies of the business school, of consulting group, of a law group, all of whom are very interested in the vibrance of the economy, and particularly of this group of companies represented by these CFOs in Northern Virginia and around the Beltway. So this was really just an idea that we came up with about would we collectively be interested in hosting this group and talking to them and soliciting their feelings and their ideas. And we didn't have specific outcomes about, well, this is going to solve this or we're going to do this. We thought it was collectively our duty as well as an opportunity to learn from the CFOs and to give them an outlet for them to meet each other, to network. And again, as an academic, this was a nice sample to learn about how the CFOs in Northern Virginia might differ from a national CFO group for which we have surveys that we can compare to. So create my own survey, get our own group, and see what we learn.
Yes, give this group a voice. Which leads to my next question. We often hear from economists who discuss the economy. Rarely do we see CFOs in the media giving their take. Do you think that traditionally they've been overlooked as a group when it comes to weighing in on the macro economy?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. The real issue is, first of all, I think they have been overlooked. And I think part of that's not to be unexpected, because it's easier to go to an economist who tends to take a view, of course, across companies, a larger view of the situation. CFO works for a company, an organization. And incidentally, we have not-for-profits as well in the group. But you tend to think that you're getting a little bit more of a biased or a restricted view. What was interesting is having these professionals sitting at the table and listening to them talk, they are so well versed about the economy in general, because they can't think about just their companies. They do have to think about the macro factors. I found them to be not only a knowledgeable but very informative group in terms of how they think about things, not just what they think about, but how they think about them. So it might be difficult to lend credibility to talking to a CFO, because people say, oh, well, you have your company in mind. But I think collectively, when you get them together from all different walks of the economy, then we do get a pretty good view. And I don't know if it's better than an economist. I think it is a little bit different. It's a little bit more pragmatic. And to me, they carry some credibility of dealing with real issues in their companies and having to think about, you know, real people that they have to lay off and the angst that comes with that. And that And that was one of the top things, by the way, that these people talked about, was they were glad to have that behind them. And they reacted to that quickly, definitely worst parts of their job. But you know, when they're talking about that, that it's real, because they had to face the people that they let go. But again, that was behind them, and most of them optimistic, particularly about their own companies, and just hoping to get some reassuring information, maybe from Washington, maybe just from happenstance about whether it's the stock market or something else. But they felt they were a little light on buoyant news and a little heavy on bad news.
But even still, there was some good news in there. There was some good news to come out of their survey in terms of their feelings.
Yes. The good news persisted from the last few times that we met. And I think most notably from that is that if you talk about their own companies, if you talk about the performance, very objective measures, income statement, balance sheet, those continue to improve. They're performing relatively well, maybe not back to pre-crisis levels, but they've seen the trough. They've come out of that. And in particular, if you just ask them strength of balance sheet and how's your cash balance, how much money do you have? They're increasing in their cash balances. They have money. And here we get into the enigma. Say, wow, we have cash. We've been profitable. Okay, so where are you going to spend it? Do you see this as an opportunistic time, or do you see this as sort of hunker down and wait? And say, oh no, this is a good opportunity to get market share, to get new products, new services, maybe even acquire other companies. But then you go around the table and say, what have you done? What has your company done? Well, we're still looking. And we've done a little bit of this. What about hiring? Are you going to add those people back? We're keeping our current scale except for certain pockets of opportunities. And some of them are hiring, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I think when you add all that together for this very successful group of companies, you still get the feeling of this sluggishness, that things are still slow. They want to be faster, but there's just this weight of this persistent uncertainty that kind of, we've got the money, but it's a little easier to wait than it is to spend it. So
right.
I think that may sum up pretty well the economy in general that we're all living in.
And when will this group reconvene?
We will be scheduled to meet in January. We tend to try to avoid peak times of earnings calls and so forth. So instead of meeting quarterly, we tend to meet about every 4 months. We'll be meeting early to mid January, and we'll have the same survey, and it'll be interesting about their collective feelings if those have improved, and it'll also be interesting what happens over the next few months. We've got Dodd-Frank. We've got a lot of things that have come out that people are trying to digest. You know, what does it really mean from the Hill? And we'll see what January brings. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, that's right. And we look forward to catching back up with you to see what the 2011 CFO's Roundtable Assessment will look and sound like. Ken Eads, Finance Area Head for the Strategic CFO's Roundtable, and Darden Professor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And speaking of conferences, the third annual Value Investing Conference, hosted by the Darden School and the McIntyre School of Commerce, began Thursday evening. If you'd like to read coverage of the two-day event, be sure to visit Darden Live on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in to the Darden Business Cast. We invite you to listen each Friday by visiting Darden's website or by downloading us from iTunes or Podcast Alley. Until next time, make every day a great one.
If you have comments or feedback, please email us at communication@darden.virginia.edu. Darden Business Cast is a production of the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business, along with Darden Media and the Office of Communication and Marketing.